Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from the phantom shores of the Hudson River, my name is Ra, and I am here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me. Until we all vibrate the same frequency. I want to welcome everybody. We almost got a full moon out there, a Taurus moon, my twin flame moon. And we have a really good guest tonight. We have two guests, actually, a treat for us tonight. And it's my buddy, Frank Castle from IamWeAreFearless.com. And he has his etherical translator, Paula Milo, who is his co-host on Fearless, and his other half. And we will see where this conversation takes us tonight, because Frank is a wild and crazy guy, and he's a really good friend. And, you know, he has a lot of knowledge of the other worlds, experiencing these other worlds, especially through the use of his way of divination, in a way. He's using a divination through the plant ayahuasca, which is known as the vine of souls. And, you know, Frank is an interesting character because he talks openly about his use of ayahuasca as a shamanistic practice. And, you know, some people, this is controversial, you know, ways, and, you know, some people think it's just insanity with this talk, but if you go back to ancient cultures all over the world, you will find references to these same experiences, and it doesn't even have to include even ayahuasca. You had people all over the world using certain plants to open doorways. And Frank and Paula are going to explain how this has started with them. And, you know, I want to welcome to Spiral Radio for the first time, and hopefully many others, my buddy Frank Castle and his other half, Paula Milo. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much for having us on the show, guys. I'm so excited.
Oh, I am too. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's I'm glad, you know, and it's like we mentioned it, and in my other show when we had you on the Eye of Ra on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, that when we first met, it's like finding a member of your soul family again. It's like I already knew you. It's like we knew each other already. It was kind of interesting. And we had some Mandela effect moments, you said, as well, in certain videos that you saw of mine a few years ago that we only like made this year. So it was some kind of timeline bleed through, some kind of remembrance of the past between us and other members of this soul family that are – it's worldwide, and we are finding each other now, finally.
I can't explain it, but I'll tell you, the magnet turns on during certain situations, and I say to myself, oh, look, here's someone that is going through something similar. At the time, it was the satanic music industry, and you know, I'm pulling for it. And then that video was 4 or 5 years ago. I watched it and I'm like, hey, look, this guy understands it. And I was so attracted to the video, you know, that one that jumps out in your recommendations. Yeah. I'm like, yo, this is the one. It's got the exact title. And just to find out, you guys did it in February of this year. But I used that video ridiculously as, you know, hey, look, he's going through it. Why, he's not crazy.
Yeah. You know? If anybody wants to check it out, it's, if you go on YouTube, it says, the musician meets the devil, find out what happens, or something like that. And there's like 150,000 views on that video or something, but it's it was recorded only a few months ago. We did it in February of 17 on Leak Project. And Frank, to bring you guys up to pace, because I don't know if you guys understand what we're saying, Frank had seen this video on the tour. He was on the tour bus or on a van touring with one of his bands at the time, and he saw a video 5 years ago that I just recorded this year on YouTube, and it like changed his mood at the time. He was like feeling weird, and it was like he could finally relate to somebody in the video, and it like, you know, changed his attitude for a little while. And and I just recorded that this year, and you saw this 5 years ago. That's crazy. So I think it really had to have been on some other timeline, and there has been a bleed through, and I think it possibly could have taken place, this change with this solar eclipse.
I definitely agree. Some big changes happened during the eclipse. But something that I'm getting out of the eclipse now, that they showed me then, was the faux shamans, right? Like the mimic of everything, right? Like everyone's leveling up. I'm down. It's the in thing, right? I'm here. I'm part of it. I'm all spiritual. I'm wearing a robe and I got some flowers and, you know, I do my thing. And I'm like, that's not the message. And we talk about the tentacles that we've witnessed over and over coming out of the eclipse. If you weren't protected, and, you know, Chris talks about this a lot on his show on Truth Frequency on Beyond the Veil. He was worried about me. I was down in South Carolina and or was it North Carolina?
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And we were in Fair Play, so we could be in the totality, but we were in Mandalas.
So you were right at the end. That's where it ended. It would start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
We were right. Okay. We had a lake house, and that we got an Airbnb. And as we were there during the night, like, we were doing ayahuasca ceremonies and everything, but we can see creatures there telling us, like, your time's almost up and you're bringing way too much attention to this place.
To this part of the this part of the area. They were basically telling us each individually, it's time for you to leave. You've had your experience. Well, now it's time for you to go.
There is some sort of portal there, too, in South
Lake
Carolina.
Hartwell.
Yeah.
Without question.
There's an entrance. Yeah, there's an entrance to what I think the Hindus call Patala, which is like the reptilian netherworld. You know,
really?
It's there's some kind of, yeah, and the in Hindus they call it Patala. In the Hindu lore, they called it Patala, and there was an entrance supposedly in Benares, India, beneath the well of Sheshna. To the Patala is the reptilian underground, the underworld, and they called Manasa was one of the queens of the underworld. It was Manasa, and this is this reptilian world. It's an interdimensional species that lives beneath the world in some alternate dimension where there's access to timelines and time gates and all of that. And I think that there's entrance ways. I actually know that there's entrance ways in Arizona, in California, and all over the world. And in fact, there's supposed to be one right in South Carolina near the Skateboar Swamp.
It's a lake that turns into a swamp, right? So it was Five Fingers connecting to the heart, to Lake Hartwell. I was looking at pictures of this, and I was saying, past the lake house, right? We were right on the dock. It looked like a swamp to the right, right, as it went off, and then there were other homes. It was very swampy, and then to the left, it was a beautiful lake. So I kept saying, well, it was kind of answered for me. One of the nights, I was standing up on the back porch with a buddy of mine named Jay, and I can see my shadow, and he kept saying, there's someone standing there. And I said, no, that's us. So I waved to myself through the shadow because the light was projecting from behind me, and my shadow was way off to the right, and I can see it. And I'm like, oh, there's my shadow over there. And this thing right out in front of me, not even 50 yards away, just waves to me. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I could see splashes in the lake, but it was like splashes that weren't making a lot of noise. And then things were jumping on the dock. And the next day, there were prints all over the dock. Yeah. All right. When we were there, one thing that happened right as the eclipse was going on, they were going, we brought mandala blankets, circles, like little flower things.
Yeah.
And you could
sit
in that, right? So they were going, just sit in the circle. This is what the message I was getting. As long as you're in this circle, you're safe. So the two girls, Paula, Gina, and myself, got on.
That's very simple. Listen. Go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt
you. I jumped into the circle. I sat there like smiling, you know, all happy and giddy. I wasn't on ayahuasca at that moment. I was just sitting there. And I wanted to watch it in live time and just capture it in my mind, you know. And then I kept hearing, stay in the circle. So I pulled Paula into mine. And then Gina brought her own. And I look over at the two guys. And the two guys were sitting in the cube. And I was like, hey, guys, you might want to think of sitting over here. They were laying down looking straight up because it was right over us. It was awesome. And I go, you come over here? And they were like, nope, don't worry about us. And just that night on ayahuasca, everyone was dealing with the tentacles from this AI creature, the demiurge. I don't know what you want to call it. There's so many versions, and then it mimics everything. But I know that was the artificial intelligence messing with us. It had it literally had tentacles in creatures. One of my things, Ra, you know, I talk about it all the time. I talk to all the beings. I talk to all of them. And I can tell you right away through practice, I'm just doing it a million times, which one has the puppet strings being pulled. It'll be like 99.99%, and then something crazy will happen, like someone will judge you. Some little red flag goes off on one of the creatures, and I'm like, I look down and I go, oh, look, the AI has a tentacle in it, and you'll watch it watching you from like a few feet away, puppeteering the entire situation.
But there was also a very big reptilian presence in the area. I mean, you know, we had sightings the entire time we were there.
Oh, and the neighborhood, right? As we pull in, there were signs, Sasquatch and reptilian men. If you see the reptile men, this is their land. Like, be respectful. I remember being in the general store, and I asked, you know, any of y'all do ayahuasca, know what DMT is? And they were like, no. I'm like, but you know what reptile men are and Sasquatch? And they're like, yes. I'm like, and they were dead serious. They were like, we don't want you here.
We don't want you here. We'd like you to leave.
And Paula had this interesting take that the DNA and the people that lived in that area are actually the guardians of the area. And they don't know.
I think she's spot on. I think she's spot on with that. They don't even realize it, but they are. Yeah, they are protecting the land and the access to their netherworld.
Yep, and they're drawn to those specific areas. They might not even know why.
Yeah, they're allowed to be there because in their DNA, or maybe it's the soul that's animating the actual being is reptilian.
I think it's the DNA.
Yeah, it's the DNA. They have more. I've had arguments with them. I stopped getting attacked by reptilians the minute I said something wise for once in front of them instead of I'm going to smack one of you guys for scaring me constantly. I said, you know, everyone has reptilian for the most part DNA in them, right? Yes. It's the most dominant thing. They were like, yes. I said, well, that makes me your brother. And when I mean I confused everyone standing there.
Technicality.
And I said, hey, listen. And they just stopped. I have not had interference.
That's right.
They watch, but they don't. And they go like. They say to me like, oh, look, like I want to – like you could tell they just want to choke me, but they don't, and they want to help me. And I'm going, I don't know what's going on here, but you guys understand it's in my DNA.
Some of them are strong and powerful, but I – from my experiences, they fear what can be awakened inside of us.
Absolutely. My first experience with them, that's exactly what they said. They said, you are – right now – you're just a clown. Like, you're a clown to us. But on the other end, you are a very big problem. They're like, you don't even realize what you're doing. You're waking people up, and you're just like hanging out, drinking ayahuasca, trying to get people down. And they're thinking you're not correct still, and you're trying to be a shaman when you're not supposed to try. Like, they're explaining it all to me. And they go, but down the line, you guys are so powerful that we have nothing.
Because we're all vibrating at that frequency. It's the same frequency you talk about. I believe that we can all tap into that. And I think when we vibrate at that frequency, we burn a little brighter, you know? Yeah. And I think it's something that they can see. It's definitely a footprint.
Well, they could smell it or something.
Yeah, like it's some kind of imprint that they can see.
I agree 100%, actually. And like what Frankie was saying, that's what I agree on. They can smell the genetics, and I feel as well. They could smell the DNA, and they could smell their ancestry, you know. And I think that they get lured to even they pulled into this dimension by menstrual blood and the smell of menstrual blood on females. And I'm not a scientist, or I'm not 100% on this, but I feel that some reptilian encounters and some of these beings end up in our world and in somebody's room because they were actually pulled into that dimension through the smell of the blood, of the menstrual blood. And then all of a sudden a woman will wake up in the middle of the night, and there'll be this hovering interdimensional reptile humanoid standing over her, and he was actually pulled into this dimension by the smell of her menstrual blood.
But I believe that 100%, because there were times, and it's documented, some people still do it, when they planted their crops, they put menstrual blood into the ground.
Strega do it too. Yep.
Yeah, to ensure a good harvest.
And once again, it goes back to what we're actually talking. I won't get it overly in depth, but we are talking about the portal into this world and what flows from it.
Yeah.
So it would act as a portal or the substance, which is another reason why, if it's that potent,
it's
so important.
It's being integrated into the earth. So it's just another form of DNA being integrated. Because this is the living library. This is where every other being in every other realm comes to harvest DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's definitely in us, Rob. One of the things they showed is, remember I talked about this, the true Israel? Not Israel, the Israel. That's in the 20 and change different DNA mixtures, so... When you're like, oh, I'm a pure blood and I'm pure and I'm this, it's not in you. It's in the mix of all the DNA. It's in the mutts, people like me.
Well, we don't even really know. That's what that junk DNA, they think it's junk DNA. They just don't know what to do with it because they don't know what to do with it.
They just say that to us, I believe. I think that's just the front on the commercial.
Oh, yeah, right? But I think that's the reptilian DNA. That's all of the unknown DNA.
Oh, yeah, those are the unlockables. That's the multiple combinations. Yeah. So any combination, like a Rubik's Cube, creates the different DNA that you'll need from literally anything. But the people of the planet that have mixed and merged and done all this stuff, it's there. That's where it is, in that, not within the purity. It's that who has the most in them. Right. So when the lowest of the low, right, will inherit the land. What are they? The meek, they call it, right? Will inherit the earth. That's because the meek are housing
the multitudes of
DNA from all the other beings, which had to be done so a creator could be put in that body, because that's what they want. They want the creators to all be in one place, or a whole bunch of them, and then they want to control the collective consciousness so they could swing it in. They used black magic to swing that stuff in the way they see. It's like throwing a rock as birds are flying by, and they all swing out into another direction. You can't really control them, but you could get them swinging back out to the right or the left just by throwing the stone into the pond.
Yeah, well, it is all about the blood, too. I mean, even in my family lineage, or the Strego or shamanic lineages that my Italian genetic line came from. I mean, Strega children, you know, just in general, you know, are watched as soon as they're born and throughout their young life to see if they have the qualities of having the gift or the ways. They call it the demoti, you know, the ways. And to be of the blood, you know, you will see certain gifts as a child start to manifest in certain qualities. And, you know, once this happens, it is said that you're sort of tagged in the multiverse, you're tagged in a way that you have watchers, you know, you have these watchers and all these different beings that will interact with you. And, you know, to be a shaman is to be a keeper of ancient wisdom, right? To be a keeper of this ancestral knowledge that's passed down. And whatever way you choose to activate it within you, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through ayahuasca, whatever way it comes to you, it is knowledge and it is ancient wisdom. It's a matter of what you do with it once you have it. That's the key, you know. And if you're using something to gain knowledge and wisdom, you know, that's a good thing. It's now, what are you going to do with it? And you have come up with this whole thing of being fearless and helping people, and it's your calling. And it's like, when you have a calling like this, there's prices that you have to pay as well. You know, there's prices that come along with it. And one of them is people going to be throwing these stones at you. People are going to be pointing fingers at you at some time. But the thing to be fearless is the key. And that whole thing that they say with a Truth Frequency Radio about being your own shaman, that's the key, is to be your own shaman and to be, you know, who, you know, you're supposed to be. And that's a spiritual and astral warrior. And that's who we fight through the multiverse, the battles between light and dark of our spirit on a constant basis. And I think that's what you're doing. I mean, there's going to be a time, I think, though, that one day you're going to wake up and you're not going to want to drink ayahuasca to go beyond. I mean, I don't know if you're going to be 80 years old drinking ayahuasca. You know, yeah, you're not going to need to. Exactly.
Here's the thing. Ayahuasca is a technology. It's a organic, raw consciousness technology that cannot be accessed by certain things except for the straight, raw, organic consciousness. I think Chris is right when he's like, yo, you know, we put that there. It's like the one way out, right, to wake you up. It's part of the nature program. It's in everything, and it's in you. So what it does is, as a technology, when used correctly, it becomes something that's helpful, right? To help me get back my birthright.
A form of medicine.
It is medicine. And what does medicine do? It fixes you, right? It sets things back to the way they're supposed to be. It allows your body to heal. It allows your mind to heal. It allows your consciousness to heal. And well, you
get good.
No, you just start to become you again. I can't stress that enough. And ayahuasca is not for everyone, but I don't just sit around and drink ayahuasca. See, that's the thing.
I understand. I did it one time, you know, not on the level that you guys have done it, but I did it one time and it was like, I gave you the story. I went to Brazil and we went the whole thing. And, you know, it goes beyond that, though. What I say that you have is you contain the gift. That's what they would say in Strago or the shamanic lineage that I came from. They would say in the ancient times that you contain the gift. And to have the gift is basically somebody that is able to not be famous, but there's a force that you have inside of you and behind you that helps you achieve your dreams and put your spot on history. Put your spot on the world, that inner voice that just awakens people, and you know, and that inner voice that sometimes speaks to you your whole life and telling you that you're important and that you're something special and that you're meant for something. You know, some people don't have that in them, but some people throughout their whole lives, they just know they're meant for something more, and they have that inner voice. And you know, it could turn into, you know, marking your spot on history. And that's what I think, that even if it's a small amount of people that you awaken, or if it's just one, you know, that is the true riches in life, and the true wisdom is doing that. And I feel that that's what you're accomplishing. And, you know, for someone to belittle that, then they don't have the whole picture. If they're just looking at
it, they belittle it, they're afraid of it.
Well, yeah, this ancient – go ahead, Paul.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying this. It's like a current of ancient wisdom, and it's like it's a river floating from our past, present, and future, like a river of energy, a river of wisdom or consciousness, and our ancestors can be tapped into. If you want to call it a magical technology or some kind of way, you can tap into that consciousness and climb up that shamanic tree all the way up to the heavens and all the way down to the roots and the veins. And, you know, there's a memory within our bloodlines that carries all of these knowledge through us. And it's not just DNA codes. There's more than it. Because think about it. What will give somebody an act of heroism, you know? You know, is that just a genetic code, or is that something more inside of you? Something more than
a piece
just
a genetic
of you code.
Unlocks. So it's like the true organic in you comes out, because the true organic consciousness of the light, and I don't want to keep adding things to that, sees the morality behind it, sees the code of activation, and has to move on it or not move on it and observe it, understand it, maybe experience it and go through it, so, and then clear out all that karma, so it just never has to go back to that. But it can teach people, by example. Like, I've been through it, bro. I can, you know.
Yeah. Well, no. When we come back from break, I want you to explain your first ghostly encounter. You know, that we talked about earlier in the other show on the Eye of Ra. But before that, I want to present something to you and Paula real quick. We got like 5 minutes to break. And see what you guys think of this, because I had a little premonition, not a premonition, but a little revelation earlier. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the being. It's a man who appeared, and he's supposedly like an enlightened avatar who can appear out of thin air in material form at certain times in history to supposedly help mankind to achieve a higher state. And in the 1970s, this guy called Babaji in India all of a sudden appeared as an 18-year-old man in a cave in India meditating. And now in the 70s, this spiritual movement came through the United States, and a young Steve Jobs got swept up by this. This is the inventor of Apple and the iPhone and all that. He got swept up by the spiritual movement, right? So he ended up going to India and having contact with this avatar, this guy that no one – he had no mother, no father. No one knows where he came of. There was no existence of him before 18 years old. He all of a sudden appeared in a cave meditating out of nowhere in India in the 70s. And they said that this same man also appeared in the 1800s out of a cave in India, and before that and before that. So he was always – and you know, no one knows where he came from, how he was born. And he said that he had no mother or father. He just basically appeared out of thin air. To me, that's a manifestation of this ultra intelligence.
Absolutely.
This ultra AI, right? So listen to this. So a young Steve Jobs goes over and has contact with this guy in the 70s, stays with him for a while. This guy gives him a spiritual initiation name, gives him a name, right? And then he gives him some secret knowledge, how to tap into the Akashic records, how to tap in to the information in this holographic universe. And now Steve Jobs later on, what does he do? He gives you this holographic universe in material form right at the touch of your fingers through an iPhone, right? So this guy's supposed to come to supposedly help mankind achieve a higher state. But what he actually did is help mankind get more in tune with AI and with the ultra intelligence, and it's this machine. So I think that the way he appeared out of thin air in this cave was through some sort of insert into the matrix, if you want to say, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. One of the things I saw was when the AI came in on a rock, right? It started infecting everything, and then that infection caused you to first – the wheel, then the up to the steam engine.
Remember when I
talked
about the rock that I saw coming too? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, they worship the rock. They do like these mass mecha movements to this giant stone that has the black liquid in it. All right. If anybody saw the movie Alien, the black liquid is what infects everyone and turns them into aliens and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've been talking about it for years.
Come on. I mean, it's literally right in front of you. How many demonic movies have we watched where someone throws up black gooey stuff and it's right in someone's mouth, blah, and then they become sick? I mean, it's pretty obvious now what's going on here.
Yep, there's no fiction.
It's a programmable – yeah, she's right. There's no – there's it's a programmable biological technology that sets in motion the wheels to bring forth the technology to house the AI, to make it help you, make it want to help you, gets down with you, and then it turns on you and everyone else.
And it's known by all cultures, all walks of life,
by a million different names. So many different names are just different arms of the tentacle.
Well, we're here with Frank Castle, and you can find Frank and Paula Milo, his co-hosts, on Fearless at tfrlive.com on Saturday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And you can find him at iamwearefearless.com. The song coming up is called Movie Star Fix by Analog Driver. And you can find us at Spotify and Reverb Nation. And it's a beautiful moon out there tonight. Everybody enjoy. Turn the music up. We're about to get loud here on Para X Radio Network. Spiral out.
You
listening at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back, and we are here with my buddy Frank Castle and Paula Milo, who you can find on Truth Frequency Radio Network on Saturday nights in their show Fearless. And you can also find them at their website, iamwearefearless.com. I'll post that in the chat room. And if you're out there listening worldwide, you can also come join us in the chat room at the ParaXRadioNetwork.com. That's ParaXRadioNetwork.com. And you check out their website and all the archives we have on there. And also, you can find us on YouTube at Exploring the Ka. So, Frank, you know, this next half hour, 25 minutes, is going to go by really quick. So, you know, one of the craziest stories I've ever heard, and I've heard some crazy stories and have been through some crazy things, was the story that you told me of your first, or I don't know if it's your first, but one of your most significant and intense ghostly encounters that you've had that changed your life, you know. And I don't know if you were a teenager at the time or your brother was a teenager, but you and your brother went through this together. If you could share this with us, I would really love it, because the Para-X Radio Network would love to hear that.
I would love to share that. Before I start, though, Paul and I want to share something with you that happened. I've had moments on air with you where something spiritual or more is occurring, right?
Oh, for sure.
We get attacked every time we're about to hit the proper notes, right? So we're playing the song on Guitar Hero. Here comes the notes. We line them all up and hit them correctly. You can guarantee something comes in and wants to interfere. Since
I've been getting attacked by some kind of this whole show from the beginning.
Listen, yes, we were just talking about that. We didn't want to say anything either.
I go, oh my.
I didn't want to give it life, yeah.
And but I had to let it out. And I go through this on shows, and there's one show that's horrible that Paula had to just take over because I got taken on the show. And I said, no, let the show go live. Let them see what happens when we're going to hit the – when I had the write-up for the show beforehand, it was like I was telling them what I was going to talk about. And then instantly they show up right soon as you're about to go live. Either the technology goes off, somebody gets sick, somebody starts throwing up, somebody faints, somebody falls over, the cat starts to have a seizure. It's always something, but just for that hour. And then everything goes back to normal.
Yeah, I don't think the people even realized, though, at the beginning of the show. I don't know if you guys realized, too, that you guys lost me. My producer, Sarge, had to tap me back in because I was like, my computer just shut off for me for a little bit.
Happens to us all the time before a show.
As soon as we got the message exactly coming out, I said to her, they don't want us talking about the blood.
Yep. Sarge has a 0.2 second recovery time.
Nice. Shout outs from the highest.
I didn't want to get the light, and
we're sharing it live time. I wasn't talking to you off air or nothing about this. No. Like, this is happening just as we came back from commercial. Yeah. I ran right into the bathroom. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be sick. I think I'm purging. And then it happened. Done. And I was like, whoa. You know, that just shows that they're in the room with you, because that doesn't occur only during this. Ever
since. What about the red light?
Too bad you didn't hear that song, too. That song was badass.
I caught the last part of it. It was awesome. But, all right, so it wasn't my first encounter with a ghost. It was my first. It was 98. It was the day before Mother's Day. I was in the basement, my younger brother, and where he's the Rob Banks from the Heist, from Heist Click, and that's my music group. And we were doing – he's 7 years younger than me. So – we were down in the basement doing our stuff, and I came upstairs. All the lights were on, and it's an old Italian house. You could just – there's pictures on the wall. There's old furniture and plastic on things, and everything's got paneling on it. So I have a big bay window in the front of the house, and the street light comes in. So that light wasn't on in that room, the living room. But the dining room and the kitchen light were on, so everything was lit up. It wasn't that late either. It was only like 9 o'clock. I come up the stairs and I make the turn. And mind you, back then I was very, very athletic, very strong, very angry all the time. And I saw, I saw a man standing in my living room, but he was like bent over looking at, my grandmother sits watching TV and it looked like he was bent over talking to her, but nobody was there. She was upstairs sleeping. So I said, "Yo, man, who is that?" Like I said to myself. And so I start walking towards him and I said, "Oh, there's no one there." And sitting in my grandmother's seat, I thought maybe I'd see her as I came around the turn. Now it's a straightaway. I'm looking right at him. I'm 30 feet. I run 20 of those 30 feet in like 2 seconds. I'm like, I'm going to tackle this guy right now. And I noticed I could kind of see through him, kind of. And then he stood up. Like he just stood right up and he was way bigger than me, way bigger. He just turned and I said, "Oh, he's wearing a suit and a tie and a coat." And he moved at me and I was expecting him to run like in my direction and tackle me or something. And he didn't have any legs, like from the knees down. There was nothing there. He moved at me so quickly and he looked me straight in the face from like an inch away from my nose, looked down into my eyes. And I said, he looked like my grandfather. I was like, "Grandpa?" But grandpa was upstairs sleeping. So I'm like, "Oh." So I start shaking and I thought I was having a heart attack. I kind of fall over. I have this thing where I faint sometimes. when I first encounter some of these beings or whatever, I go into a little bit of a shock.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
Well, she's seen me flop all over the place, like, "Whoa," you know, and so I fall down and I literally can't do anything and I'm like freaking out and I forget my brother was coming up the stairs behind me. So he comes up the stairs, shuts the basement light. All I see is this ghost, this super dark shadow that you could almost see through that looks like my grandfather go into the kitchen and then turn where my brother would be coming up the stairs and making the turn. And I heard him talking and I was so scared I forgot I had a brother for a second. And he made the turn, and I heard him scream for his life. I heard a scream that made me get up from my fear and rush over to him. And I saw the ghost go to the back. There's another room from the kitchen that goes out the back door. It's a little small. It's only like 10 feet. And it walked, I guess, away. It moved away from my brother and out the back door. And I said, "Oh, it's gone." And then I felt safe. I ran up to him. He was on the floor. I think he was 15 at the time. He was holding his chest, and he looked like when you're frozen in fear, like when you freeze someone frozen with his mouth open, his eyes rolling into his head, and the sides of his head, his hairs on either side, like 3 inches down on either side, turned bright white. I found my white hair. Yeah, Mr. Fantastic. He actually looks like him. And then it's funny, mine, I had a tiny goatee at the time, very light. You know, I was doing the keto thing.
How old was he, like 14?
15.
15, and the sides of his hair went white
and my chin hair,
scared to almost literally death.
I've never seen such fright. I'll be honest, I tell the story fun. It wasn't fun. This wasn't fun. You know what, Ra, honestly, not a lot of it's fun. But I'm used to it now, so I get it. Now it's kind of fun. I'm like, "Oh, look, you're real? Okay, that works."
Know, you just have a fun, you know, you have a personality where you like to, you know, entertain people, so you tell it in a certain way.
Right.
But yeah, that's literally your beard. You said your goatee went white from the experience as well, right?
I hung out at a park five blocks from my house where there was just violence daily. And I was scared, right? But I was involved. And I was like, "Yo, that's pretty scary. Dumb stuff gets you killed right there on the spot." Nothing in that park. If you added all those times together into one time, this was 10 times more scarier than that to me. Because how is
this growing up
even
on the streets of the Bronx, you know, 1 second of seeing this otherworldly figure frightened you beyond capabilities of any street.
Listen,
thug, I mean, or anything, yeah.
Chris and I do that song Supernova, right? And it's like, "You're a gangster, but you don't impress me none, right? I haven't seen a single thing you done, right?" Now, I'm thinking everyone around me is a gangster, right? I drank ayahuasca once, and I'm like, yeah, there's not one gangster in this room except for me right now, and I'm frightened to death. I'm frightened beyond, I can't talk to you right now. I told Chris, hug me, just hug me, in pouring tears. And then he's like, right, gangsters all around us, right? And I'm like, no, no, no. There's nothing. I said, anyone can pull a trigger, stab someone out of anger, kick someone down a flight of stairs, do something horrible. That's nothing. I said, you show them this, their baby's wetting their bed and they can't sleep at night and want mommy to hold them. Instant gangster just turns soft. I haven't had
that's
a
so
gangster.
Crazy. That's confirmation, dude. I mean, you're not only you're being like, how old were you at the time? 20?
I was like 22.
So you were like 22 and your brother's like 14 or 15 and your guy's literally hair went white from what you saw. That's confirmation to me of, I mean, how do you explain a 15-year-old kid, a 14-year-old kid's hair going white on the sides? I mean, you know.
Yo, we laugh to this day. He tells me, my brother's not like me at all. He's like a great dad and just a cool guy and stuff, right? He goes, yeah, that's crazy, Frank. You're absolutely out of your mind. He's staring at me. And then he goes, but, you know, you look great. You sound amazing. Everything's working for you. Right? And then I go, Rob, do you remember? And he's like, yeah, I know all about it. He gets all, like, pouty. And I'm like, you're standing right there. I know. And I'm like, right? So he's like, well, that's just one thing. And I go, well, why can't it be everything? If it's one thing. All right. See, so the ghost didn't work for that. And, for the unlock, it scares someone. Like my father, he never came in the house again when he saw it. He said he saw it when I was a baby in my grandparents' house. The man was in the crib with me, and when he described the exact same thing that I did, but he never told me. So I was like, why don't you ever go into grandpa's? And then the divorce happened, and then 20 years later, and I'm like, why didn't you do that? He goes, that same character you talk about, he's like, I saw him when you were a baby. And he did not like me. Like, he looked over at me and I couldn't move. Yeah, me, my dad and I don't talk at all, right? He thinks I'm a demon. I'm like, I'm the nicest guy on the planet.
Yes, you are.
He's like, you're a monster. Listen to you. Have you ever heard yourself talk, Frank? And I'm like, yeah, I kind of love it. Right? And he's like, that's a horror show. I go, well, it only helps people. Like, I have not hurt one person in the last, you know, couple of years, like 5 years. I'm like strict on not hurting people, you know. I'm trying to curb everything. And he's like, yeah, you're a monster. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, well, you know what, he doesn't
know the Christians that want
to
hang
people.
You gotta
be able to, yeah, you gotta understand that side of you. But I want to bring something up to you guys too as well and see your view on it as well. And I also want to give a shout out to everybody out there that is into this type of topics and is working on spirituality at the same time, to use orgone devices as well. I don't know if you've used orgone too, but I have a powered device by Misaki from Al-Qaeda.com running right now, and it's like it really protects the from outside interference, I think, the best. When I had that problem at the beginning of the show, it's like I started putting more tower busters up and turning on the power device. And, you know, I don't know if it was through my intention or whatever, but it helped me get the show back running and it helped everything clear up. I mean, there's something called too, and it's a little controversy in shamanistic practices and different witch covens and different shamanic beliefs. It's kind of a controversial topic of in Italy we call it the malocchio. It's the evil eye, you know. To transmit power through one's eyes in Etruscan or Italy is the jettarore, is to transmit this occultic vaporous magic through your eyes. It's like an etheric substance, sort of like that's comes out of your circulatory system inside your lungs and can get then transmitted through your eyes. And some people don't believe that just through a stare you can infect somebody, but you can. You know, in our hereditary line, for sure, we believe in it. And it's a vaporous magic, and it's like an occult magnetism that's it can fascinate or enchant somebody in a dark or a positive way. You can feel this sort of enchantment, like the almost like the world or the surrounding atmosphere is drunk around you, and everything's swaying with you, and you're almost enchanted, and you feel like superhero, like almost like you have some powers, and it's like this magnetic energy comes over you, and it's like, you know what I mean, like that.
Wait, I have a name for this.
Oh no! We totally 100% know what you mean.
I think people are bedazzling me. That's what I call bedazzling. And she's like, it's not bedazzling. It's when the vampire's tricking you.
No,
right?
We do call it bedazzling.
That's what I call it. No. But you tell me what is it called in the movies when we've seen it done over and over again?
Glamoring.
Oh, glamoring someone.
Yeah.
I've been a victim to the glamour.
We deal with it so much.
Horribly,
dude. And Paula has to fix
it
all the
time. It's a form of getting bewitched, you know.
It's terrible.
If you fall under the influence of this magic, you get bewitched. And in some cultures, this was feared and known as the evil eye, you know, and it's a magical gaze. But the thing is that it could be a positive thing, but it also can be a negative thing as well. And mysterious forces can, like, get darted out from your eyes. And from an like a person that's envious or angry, it could be a malevolent, contaminated force that the atmosphere around the person to whom it's directed can get contaminated as well. And the glance can, like, transmit power all over somebody's body and all of the atmosphere around it. And it's believed all throughout Europe, all throughout everywhere. And it's more of a hereditary thing, but we, in Italian, we call it the getterore. And that's like you could transmit power through your stare and your glance. And I think that through ayahuasca, it's opening a doorway through your mind as well that's never going to get shut off, probably. It's like you open something, and now you're probably can generate this magic or
I agree with you. I agree. I think once you unlock something, you can never go back to what it was previously, because now you're forever changed from that moment. And I do believe you, because I know it's a respiratory issue, because when Frank gets contaminated and we have to push something out of him, he always has to open his mouth. It has to come out of his mouth.
And it tries to come out of my eyes, and it's horrifying sometimes. It's like a giant push. Something that was sitting in you is now forcing itself into one area. It's like your body has another character in there floating around, and it's too many people. You can feel that extra. It's like, how did that get in there? Well, I shook this guy's hand, or I cleared this person when they were under, you know. And you have to – that's the stuff that will give you – they tell shaman.
It's funny because
that'll give you cancer.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because my grandmother used to say that the old Italians from the old ways in old Italy, if somebody was shooting you that evil eye, looking at you from across the room with that glance, you would stick your two fingers at them, like point back, like two fingers out, and that would, like, negate it. So you would stick, like, your two fingers out towards them, like two extended fingers, like darted at them, and that would kind of, like, negate the evil glance.
I had an old Italian lady.
Yeah, we're both Italian.
That got me to come by to talk to about ayahuasca. She wanted to try whatever, and I picked up on she was dazzling me. She was actually a witch. There's a whole story to it, and she touched my leg, and I felt like really into the conversation all of a sudden. And then my cousin came over, and she's not into any of this. She just looked at me, and she, like, grabbed me, and she goes, "Stop touching my cousin," she says to the lady, and she, like, pulls me away. And as I leave, I realize that she has an altar with all kinds of different beings on it and, like, things to them. And I'm like, I knew instantly this is no bueno. The next day I had a session with someone, so it was their first time. So I wasn't going to drink. I was just going to be like, here you go. I'm going to watch you. So I get the message, you better drink. So I drink. I'm thinking I'm going to help this guy. And they separate us, and they're like, yo, that chick that touched you, check this out. She kept trying to get me to drink something, and I wouldn't. And then they show exactly what you're discussing out of her face and hands. It was like just sparkles and dazzly stuff. And then I started moving, almost like the way a snake gets hypnotized. Yeah. And then my cousin slaps it away, but she touches my leg and there's this black substance on my knee. And I had to throw that black substance in this guy's house. And I was shamaning him. And I had to go through that at the same time. It was the after that happened, I knew better.
You learned.
Like, I keep a safe space and a distance, and I don't talk to everybody about it. And it isn't, you know, that's why I have my show. Like, I can just do what
so
I
you,
want.
You have that vent. Yeah, you have that outlet, you know. And it's also, you know, that what I was talking about too, that stare. I don't want to say put it out there as I'm just putting a negative thing out there. It also can be used for good things. And it also could be used for like charging items and be enhanced with moonlight. And it's also like a said to heal. It could heal illness even, you know, just from employing that, like sort of like it's generated deep within your lungs and it comes out through the eyes. It's like a vaporous from your soul, some vaporous magic
based on intent.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like it comes out through the eyes and you can heal somebody with it. If you have enough love and intention and you look upon somebody with true wanting to heal them and you almost can visualize inside the cancer cells busting and healing and almost make it happen. And somehow you can do it. If you're powerful enough, it can happen.
I believe it. And it also works when you meet mantis beings for the first time as well, because you don't like seeing them walk directly into your house. So I'd rather see that.
Want to shoot up the maloic. Yeah.
I was dancing one night on a microdose. And I was doing this weird dance, and there was a guy standing next to me. And I was like, oh, look, the guy, that's what I'm seeing tonight. Yay, guy, he must be a family member. And I started doing the dance with him.
What's considered a microdose, like a smaller drink of like ayahuasca?
I did like 0.5, like a half a gram of mushrooms.
Oh, okay, mushrooms, all right.
Yeah, you can connect multiple ways.
You were doing
ways.
A dead can dance.
Right, and I'm just doing like this little dance, circular motions, and there's a guy doing it with me, and then the third time I looked at him, it was actually a mantis, and he was filling the entire room. And I said, if you ever do that, scare me like that again. Like, I have rules. And they were like, no, we had to do that so we didn't scare you, and now you're prepared to see it. And I'm like, oh, okay, that was frightening. You know, it's not easy to see this stuff, man. And apparently they're all beings that a lot of beings are trying to help us do this. It's not easy what we're all doing. And they're there for us.
I am. We are fearless.com. Everybody, you can find Frank Castle there and you can find him on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, him and Paula, every Saturday night from 9 to 10. And, you know, you got to guys catch the replay of this if you're just tuning in now. Because we even were talking about how Steve Jobs could have been infected by some AI. Do you think that
100% without question.
Yeah, that Babaji that I said, that guy that just appeared in a cave. No one knew where he was born or where he came from. I think that is a manifestation out of thin air of this, an insert into the matrix.
And received we should his downloads.
Further, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think we should look into further with that, everybody, and reanalyze these ancient scriptures and who these avatars that the ancient Hindus believed are and where they come from. Because even on ayahuasca, Frank, you said that you've had encounters with everyone from Vishnu to the god Thoth, right? From Hindu
absolutely.
To Egyptian, you know. So what are these entities? Are they manifestations? You know, or what are they? Are they coming from, you know, like a download into the matrix, sort of like an upload into our world, you know, or something like that? It's something that we all need to question.
And it's going to be a beautiful truth when it's revealed, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight, for sure. And
thank you
know,
so much for having us. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, it's going to be one of many talks. I mean, we have like a minute left, so if you want to plug anything, Frank and Paula, you know, whatever you want to mention.
All right, shout out to the Fearless Tribe, everybody over at IamWeAreFearless.com. Check it out. Everything that's sold there goes to 50% goes to the artists that do it themselves. Check me out on YouTube. You get the first 32 episodes for free. Frank Castle's Fearless on YouTube and Heist Click on Twitter. If you like the music. Thank you so much, man. I love you so much, my brother.
Anytime, guys. And thank you, everybody out there. Thank you, Power X Radio Network. I want to say thank you to my producer, Sarge. Everybody in the chat room, thank you for stopping by and stick around for the next show. And we'll see you next week. And join me tomorrow night on the Eye of Ra and Truth Frequency Radio Network as well. And my guest is Gary Wayne, who you know from here from Spiral Radio. And we're going deep down the spiral of the Lost Book of King Og. Find me on YouTube at Exploring the Ka, and we'll see you next week. Spiral out. You.